Alright, so I understand that you guys got started on it last time. You had a group lesson, had an opportunity to do some sessions together and look at the review questions. I think the first chapter was Introduction to the Bible. This one is known How to Know the Bible. Want to start off by asking the question, what will it take to know the Bible? 10 minutes of reading a day, listening to the preacher on Sunday, will you know it? Well, the scriptures tell us in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. That's an important word, diligent. It does take work. It does take giving priority to reading, rereading, thinking about words that maybe you don't understand. Get a dictionary, look them up. I still do that. Sometimes if I find myself again and again having to look it up, then I put the meaning of that word right underneath it, and that's why I have a big Bible so I can put notes in it. But it does take work. And then we want to be able to accurately handle the word of truth. I know Gideon probably rides a dozer to push snow. Can you imagine me, who's never ridden one of those, getting in there and starting to clean the Walmart parking lot? I'll probably knock out some cars, knock out some cement parts that have been built up in there, and the customer's not going to be happy. Sometimes that's how people handle the word of God. They don't have much of an idea, so they just kind of try to get up and say something and don't understand what God intended to communicate to us. But if we want to be accurate in handling the word of truth, it is going to take diligent work. But why is this important? It's because this is how God has chosen to communicate to us. This is God's letter to us. We don't hear anything. We don't get texts from God. He's not on Be Real. If we want to hear what God wants to say, the only place we're going to find it is by opening up God's Word. By hearing it when the Word of God is taught, and by reading it when we have the opportunity to do so. It's also important to realize that this is our rule book for life. If I want to know what I ought to do in life, what should I do in a given situation? How should I handle a challenge? What I should do with my life? This is where I'm going to get the knowledge from. Hence, it is important that we diligently study the Word of God. Why should we study the Bible? It's a good question to consider. Are you going to help me teach, Gideon? One reason is to grow. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it we may grow. I work in the hospital. Sometimes you see kids who are 3 months, 4 months, 5 months old, and they're all of 3 pounds. That's why they're in the hospital. That's not right. That should not be that way. But sometimes we as Christians don't seem to be concerned. We're a year, 2, 3, 5, 10 years as a believer, but spiritually we're still like 3 pounds. And to avoid that, we want to take in the Word of God. I am a new creation in Christ. When I'm born again, I need to grow. And the Word of God is sufficient, meaning it gives me everything that I need. Whether I'm a Jabe Nicholson, who was very mature in the things of the Lord, or I'm a new believer who just got saved today, what I need and all I need is found in the Word of God. Whether I lived in 1611 or during the time of the Lord Jesus, or I live in 2025, all that I need is found in the Word of God. Whether I'm a farmer or I'm an astronaut, all that I need is found in the Word of God. whether I live in Australia or in the bushes in Alaska, all I need is found in the Word. And that's an important thing to understand. And Brother Mike mentioned that earlier. It's timeless. No matter when we live and who we are, all that we need to grow is found in the Word of God. Another reason to study the Bible is to have victory over sin. Now, I am a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I want to know how to face my enemy and be victorious. Psalm 119, I'm sure you've learned this verse. Sorry that it's kind of broken up. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. And so if I want to have victory over sin and not find myself every day defeated by sin, it is only by the reading, studying, meditating, and heeding the word of God that is going to happen. The Lord Jesus, when he prayed for his disciples in John chapter 17, he said, "Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth." Sanctify means set the Christians apart. How can we be set apart for God as holy people? It is by obeying the word of God. So to grow, we should study. To have victory over sin, we should study. To prepare ourselves for service. You know, a lot of things that we buy has a manual. It tells us how to put it together. It tells us how to troubleshoot if we have problems. Well, the Word of God is like a manual. When Joshua was sent out to take on the role that Moses had, and he was going to be their leader, this is what Joshua was told. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." You know, whether it's playing sports, doing schooling, working whatever job you end up doing, if you want to be successful, you want to know what is expected from you. And as a Christian who's been called by God to serve him, the direction that I need, preparation for it, is found in the Word of God. This is another reason to be blessed. And the idea there is so that I can be happy. Psalm 1:1 and 2, I'm sure most of you know, how blessed or how happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. So again, this is not a 10 minutes a day, you know, turn on the recording as I'm doing something else, but this is diligent reading, understanding, asking questions, making sure that I understood it, trying to then share it with somebody, so then you can really tell whether you got it. Because if the other person looks completely clueless, it's a good indication that you didn't get it yourself. But that's that. But if we take the time to do that with the Word of God, we will discover that it's a happy life. It's a happy and joyful life. Let's see. Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Again, it gives me direction. If you're walking at night, a little flashlight comes quite handy, and that's what the word of God, it tells me how to live. Again, the scriptures tell us that we are fellow workers with the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And if I'm a fellow worker with him, I need to be a successful and approved worker, and it is the Word of God that helps me to do that. A couple more reasons why we should study the Bible: to help others. What I mean by that is that God's intent in bringing me into his family is that I would be a helpful member of the family. You guys come from bigger families. I'm sure your older siblings have helped you go to a game or go to class when dad and mom couldn't do it. You know, I just took a help take care of my mother when she was dying and got really sick. We all can help and should help each other out. That's how a healthy family functions. Well, God, when he brought us into his family, expects us to be helping each other out. But if I don't know the word of God, it's kind of hard then to share the word of God with someone else. The things which you have heard from me, Paul tells Timothy, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So I learn it from someone, I pass it on to someone else. God's desire is that that someone else isn't passing it on to someone else yet. If we need to be available to the Lord to do that, we need to be students of the Word of God. Let's see. To know God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say this is probably the most important reason. This is eternal life. You know, it is through knowing Jesus Christ that we receive the gift of eternal life. But in order to enjoy the very life that is in God, the knowledge of the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent is very important. And we're going to get to know him more and more as we study the Word of God. I'm sure you all know this verse in Luke 24. The scriptures are all about the Lord Jesus. Whether it's the Psalms, it is the writings of Moses, it is the prophetical writings, they all point to the one person, the Lord Jesus. And so that's another reason to study the Bible. And then finally, and we heard all about this last weekend and the Lord's Day last day with our brother Mike Atwood, if we're going to be led by the Spirit of God, we have to have the Word of God dwelling in us so God's Spirit can use the Word of God, bring it to our remembrance, and help us do what is pleasing to the Lord. So, now we get into the next question. How do I study the Word of God? And we want to talk a little bit about that. But the first thing to do when you sit down to study the Word of God is to pray. Pray for two things. One, we want to confess sin. Because if we have sin, or we have disobedience to what God has already shown us, that we don't get to see a lot of the truth in the Word of God that is there, that just doesn't catch our attention. You know, I didn't count the tiles, but there's probably 50 tiles on the ceiling. We can all see it, but how many of you know the number of it? Anyone? We don't. I mean, it's there, but we just don't pay attention. In the same way, there's a lot of truth in God's Word that we will not look for or miss to see. You don't have to count them now. because we are not listening to what God has revealed to us. And so confessing things where we've fallen short, where we've disobeyed the Lord, is helpful in our study time when we start reading the Word. It is also good to ask the Lord, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law, Psalm 119 and verse 18. So we can ask the Lord to have our eyes open, to be able to see the count, to see the texture, whatever it is, truth in God's Word that you and I need to live in the light of that truth. Well, after praying, the next thing, the obvious thing that we should do if you want to understand the Word of God, is read the Word of God. And there is blessing in reading the Word of God. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it. There is greater blessing when we obey, but there is still blessing in reading the Word of God. But in order to get the most of it, we want to read repeatedly. we want to use one good translation that we consistently use so you can mark it up and you can do things in a way that it'll come to your memory where this verse is. To be honest, even to this day, there are very few verses that I can tell you the exact book, chapter, and verse. Most verses, I can tell you which chapter it is, and I can quickly find it, especially if I have my own Bible. But when it's areas where I'm not extremely familiar, I can still find a lot more with my own Bible than if I was just having to look it up on a Bible on a phone or something like that. So it's good to have our own Bible that we mark, that we use consistently. And even if you can't remember exactly where it is, you might say, I know it's kind of on the top right part on, you know, one of these pages, like somewhere in Timothy. You go and look, you'll find it. And so that repetitive reading, paying attention to things, asking questions like, you know, the them, who is that referring to? The he, who is that referring to? Those kind of questions are also very helpful. If you know a second language, reading the scriptures in a different language, there's nothing spiritual about it. It's just that certain things pop up more in one language over the other. Now, if you don't know another language, using different translations can do the same thing. But anyway, reading, there's no substitution for it. Now, if you can't read, work on reading, but at the same time, listen to the Word of God. But reading is very helpful. Studying is the next thing besides praying and reading. And in our studying, we want to ask questions like, you know, who is this talking about? What is this saying? You know, where is this happening? When did this happen? Why was what was said said? I'll use this illustration. I was going to use it later, but I think it'll come in handy now. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now, we might think, well, you know, Paul's an apostle. He's had a lot of good preaching opportunities, established a lot of churches. Probably can look forward to a lot of reward in heaven. No wonder he says rejoice. But if we were to ask the question, where was he when he wrote this? You will discover from chapter 1, not in chapter 4, but in chapter 1, he's a prisoner. He's sitting between prison guards. He's been imprisoned for sharing the gospel. See, now when we realize that Paul, while he's laying in prison for no crime that he did, that he is saying rejoice in the Lord, that carries a different meaning or an emphasis than if we just thought, you know, he's sitting on his apostle chair, you know, just looking back at all of his accomplishments and saying, yeah, you should rejoice in the Lord. You see the difference? So it's helpful to realize, you know, where was this person when he wrote it? You know, what was the situation? Who was writing it? All these things are helpful for us to get a better understanding. Paying attention to words that repeat kind of usually is a good clue. Most of you know 1 Corinthians chapter 13. What is that chapter about? Anyone? Yeah, the love chapter. How does Caleb know that? That's one reason, but when you memorize, he probably noticed the word love shows up like at least 10 times in the chapter. So that's a little clue. That's probably something that's important in that chapter. And that's a very easy to understand example. But when you read, I've been working with some boys for the book of Don Titus. And there's I think 27 words that we together, these two boys and I, noticed that repeat itself 2, 3, 4, 5 times within those 3 chapters or those 50 some verses. Those are indications as to what this is about. That helps. Are there commands that I can find in there that I should obey? Again, I just wrote down an example. In 1 Corinthians 11, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. What does the Lord want us to do? He wants us to do you know, partake of the emblems to remember him. Are there warnings to avoid? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Again, that's a warning. Don't hang out with the wrong crowd. It's going to be bad for you. You're not going to fix them. They're going to make you bad. Are there comparisons that I can see in the passage? I jotted down James chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks in the mirror, looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of a person he was. You know, so a person that looks at a mirror, doesn't do anything about it, and walks out and will look like he did not take care of himself or groom himself in the morning, that is what a person is like who reads the Word of God, sees what it says, and then completely ignores what it says. So there's a comparison between the person who does not groom himself to a person who reads but does not obey. Are there questions raised and answers given? Romans chapter 6 is a good one. What shall we say then? Question mark. Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Question mark. And here's the answer. May it never be. So, you know, in chapter 5 we read about the grace of God and how in Christ we've been shown mercy and grace. Paul says, you know, and then he says, you know, where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. So Paul says, well, does that mean that we should just keep on sinning because grace is going to abound more? He says, no, no, no. So he erases the question, and then he gives the answer. Paying attention to these kind of things in the passage helps us in our understanding of the Word of God. Well, besides making observations, another thing that we do need to do is interpret the passage that we have. You're looking at the context is helpful. Like I said, you know, Philippians chapter 4, I understand when Paul says rejoice in the Lord, he's not sitting in a cushy seat and saying that. He is in a place where naturally you won't be inclined to be rejoicing. So when I pay attention to the context, I understand better the punch of what he is trying to say. Paying attention to the grammar is also quite helpful. Whether it's a singular or a plural does make a difference. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 16, you read, now the promises were given, spoken to Abraham and to his seed, singular. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is to Christ. So here Paul is looking at the Old Testament document in Genesis and saying, you know what? When God gave a promise to Abraham, he used the singular use of the word seed. That's because he was referring to Christ. He wasn't talking about Isaac and Jacob and their kids and so on. And so it's important that we pay attention to whether it's a singular, a plural, and those kind of grammatical things. Another one is the tense. We read the Lord Jesus himself said, you know, God identified himself as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He said, I am the God of Abraham and Isaac. And then he says, he doesn't say, I was, but I am. And the Lord uses that phrase to say that he is the God of the living and not of the dead. And so he takes the fact that it was said in the present tense to make his point. Looking at cross-references and other related passages can be helpful. I was thinking of James chapter 2, where James says, you know, we are not saved by faith alone, but also by works. Now, if that's the only passage I know, I might come to a certain conclusion. I got to work and I got to believe to be saved. But if I'm able to, I'm down to 2 minutes. If I am able to look at these other passages that, you know, where Abraham is used as an example, Rahab is used as an example, I'll be able to tell, well, he's not talking about working to be saved, but he's talking about having works in my life that gives evidence that I am saved. So looking up those cross references are helpful. It is good to have this understanding that I put at the bottom. All scripture will agree. It will not contradict itself because it all came from the same God, the same Holy Spirit moving holy men to write it. As if two passages seem to contradict, like James seems to say, you know, not faith alone, but works also. Paul says in Romans 4, for the one who doesn't work, but only believes in the Lord Jesus, his faith is counted as righteousness. Somehow they do need to agree. And so then we need to ask for the Lord's help to understand how they do. You can use a concordance, if anyone doesn't know how to use one, because we're out of time, I can't talk about it, but come talk to me. Happy to help. A topical index is another book that you can get. So if you want to look up what all does the Bible say about forgiveness, you know, whether the Bible uses the word forgive, forgave, pardon, it'll pull all of those passages for you. So if you want to study about forgiveness, that can be helpful. A commentary helps to give an explanation of the passage, but I would encourage you to not run to the commentary as your first source of understanding. Use it as your last resource. Come to a conclusion. You might have a bunch of questions, but at least conclude the few things you can conclude, and then compare it with a commentary, you know, that is reliable. It's good to realize that there's only one interpretation. Now, there are many applications, but there's only one interpretation. Application is the next thing. So we pray, we read, we observe the text, we interpret the text, and then it is time to do what we need to do, how we respond to what God tells us to do in the passage. As I mentioned earlier, there's blessing in reading, but there's greater blessing when we do what the passage tells us. As you read, and as you think about application, this little acronym is helpful. SPECS, look for a sin to forsake, a promise to claim, an example to follow, a command to obey, or a stumbling block to avoid. And as I said earlier, there's lots of applications. The Word of God can be used by all people, all across the globe, and all across the time span. Meditate on what you read. You know, you might be running a dozer, you might be digging a trench, you might be sewing a dress, whatever you're doing, doing dishes, mowing the lawn, use that time to mull over the passage that you read. There is great blessing that comes from that. Memorize it so that you have it in your head to meditate. Because if you're, you know, rereading to meditate with one hand and driving the dozer with the other hand, your boss might not be happy. So, you know, pick passages that you can memorize so then you can chew on it or meditate on it when you have time. I find this to be very helpful. Share what you learn. It does two things. If it's not clear in your mind, you will discover as you tell the person, you know, it's not quite clear in my mind. Better if you can make sure it's clear in your mind before you go share it to the person. But also it encourages other people, and that is something that God desires, that we would encourage one another. Just one last thing I want to say. Why is the Bible sometimes hard to understand? One of the reasons is because God is infinite. So if we insist that we want to understand everything about God with our finite mind, we're just going to get frustrated. But to the extent that we are able to take him in, we should desire to know him more. As I mentioned at the beginning, if we have sin, that kind of serves as a blinder. We might not see things. Some of the understanding will come with maturity as we grow in the Lord. Some of the things that are harder would be easier to understand. I actually put Peter's comment there about Paul's writings. I'll read that and we'll conclude with that. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, And regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. So even Peter is saying, you know, some of the things that Paul has written, I struggle to understand. And so, you know, again, reach out to other more mature believers who might be able to help you understand things that you find difficult to understand. But these are just some of the reasons why we might find in our reading that why it is difficult to understand as we study. But without getting frustrated about what we can't understand, we should do what we can to understand, ask questions, use our resources, but most importantly, be diligent, make this a priority so that we will learn about the Lord, and in knowing the Lord Jesus, become more like Him, but we would also have guidance from Him to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. So thank you for your active and engaging listening. If you have questions, I am available to answer. But otherwise, I hope that as you spend the next 2 weeks working through it, that you will gain a better appreciation of these things. All right, let's close our time. Thank you, Father, for your word. We are blessed to have the word of God in a language that we understand. And unlike many people of old, I believe everyone here knows how to read. I pray that you would help us to use what you've made available to us to be diligent, to be those who would accurately handle the word of truth. Bless the students as they would continue to look into this in the next couple of weeks, and the teachers as they help. And we pray that our life would be obedient to you, and through us, your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you.